Hello, and welcome to episode 255 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the Instagram comic Black, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And there's a space where there should be an introduction this week, but there's not a space in this show. There's always Tony Esmond.
Hey, you're twisting my melon, man.
What is it with you and the happy Mondays? Is it because this show goes out on a Monday?
No, it's because of your haircut.
Right.
Right.
Let's hold on.
This.
Hold on.
Right. Top of the bill.
Before I'm about to kick off, but before I do that, this week we have another guest, and we're excited to be joined by the creator of the webcomic Stutterhug, The Shape of Things, and the series Hex Vet from Kaboom Comics. It's Sam Davies. Hello.
Hello. My hair's very dull. Sorry.
No.
Never.
Never. Yeah.
Sam's already my favourite guest because she said I acted quite professionally at a table at a convention once, which is no one's ever said that before.
And immediately me and Dan don't trust her.
I'm a shill. I'm a corporate shill.
I tell you who is something, and that's Tony. What are you talking about? My hair?
Well, you looked when you put your picture up with your shaven face, you looked a bit like Sean Ryder.
Right. Apologies, everyone, that this is going to happen so soon, but fuck off.
I did notice that Joe Glass said that's the haircut you wanted from the 90s.
Look, I'm sorry, folks.
I'll take it back. If he said that, I'll take it back.
My hair's getting longer, and do you know what? I'm just going to let it grow. And then,
It's so much your hair. I think it was the shock of seeing you without a beard.
Yeah, it was the beard.
I'm going to say that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I saw it and I was like, this ain't not right about that. And I was like,
thanks, dude. It's my face.
Yeah.
You've got a lovely face.
Yeah. It's a great face. Was a great beard.
Oh yeah, what did I say to you when you showed me it on WhatsApp? I said, get yourself straight on a dating app now, my son. That's what I said.
Oh dear. And it all makes sense why I never really post any images of myself online.
It wasn't a kinky afro or anything like that, was it?
No. Oh, perhaps I should have a different haircut in every picture. If I had a fine collection of wigs, I could make a series of it. Anyway, but enough about my grooming process. We are here to talk about comics. And it's another wonderful week of comics. I think this week is it the big two are starting to release again? People are going to start releasing.
I've been told to fill out, because I'm with that comics box toolbox thing. And they've said, fill out your thing and you'll be getting a delivery this week. So I'm not sure exactly what I'm getting, though. Don't know.
I mean, if it's one of your sort of orders, you'll be getting everything.
Yeah, it was £143 the next order I put in.
Whoa. Bloody hell. Jesus. Is that not pretty much the entire Marvel DC?
There was a hardback and a couple of other things in there. It's an addiction.
It is.
And you know where you can find really good, reasonably priced comics?
Where's that, Tony?
Comic House.
Yes.
Comic House, yeah.
Yes. Hell yeah. Our lovely sponsor. That was beautiful, Tony.
Thank you.
Our lovely sponsor is Comic House. They are the indie comic marketplace with a difference. If you go to comichouse.com, there's lots of people that list their books on there. And if you like, for instance, if you self-publish, you can list your book on there for free, start selling your hard copy straight away. But the big thing we're always pushing, and they want more and more sort of creators on there and more books on there, is the Comic House app. It's brilliant subscription service, like £3 a month. That's the price of the price of one digital these days. And for that, you get access to an enormous library of digital indie comics that you can read whenever you want. And like, what sort of stuff is on there at the moment, Dan?
This week we've got Spare Keys for Strange Doors, The Enlightenment Gun, Galaxy Grappling Alliance.
I read that Strange Keys thing. That's quite good. I quite like that.
Ah, nice one.
Yeah,
a little
twisted sort of magical realism thing, yeah.
We've got Broke Down, Four Dead Bodies, and El Marvo, issue one, which there's been some fantastic feedback for. So thank you for everyone who's written a review for that.
That's top of the charts, isn't it?
It is, yeah, number one.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, so. Millionaires.
I worked on that, so.
We need a recording of Dan going, I made this.
I've been using the comichouse.com website for a good while now, and I didn't realize there was a button here you could click and it says new releases on the app. And it gives a breakdown of...
Well, there's that column in the app, isn't there? That's what I tend to look at in your...
But I think these ones are, like, newly submitted to the app, and they haven't actually gone on the app yet. So there's stuff... Well, I say that. There's the John Tucker book, Portal Comics Anthology, Surrealsville, another issue of Surrealsville, Petrichor from Gareth.
Oh, I heard that Gareth has put that on there. Yeah, nice one.
Yeah. If you do self-publish, it is worth... Putting your stuff on there.
Why not?
Especially these times.
Yep. Just before we started the show, Sam was talking about maybe one day putting something of hers on there, which we might talk about in a minute.
It's 100 pages long.
Oh yeah,
worth the money. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
£3 for 400 pages of comic. That's not bad.
I can retire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bloody hell, just imagine being able to retire after a comics career. Anyway, but the Comic House people should, because they should make all the money in the world from this, because they're doing the good work of the Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. They're doing the work of the Lord.
What's happened to you since you had your beard shaved?
I don't know. I'm a born again. Like Daredevil. You said I look like Daredevil.
I did say that. When Daredevil stops being like all depressed and living in alleyways and stuff, he shaved his beard off. Is that what's happened to you?
Yeah. That's essentially what I've been doing. I used to live in alleyways.
Yep. Blimey. Used to get beaten up by Santa, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Did that really happen to Daredevil?
Born again, yeah. Santa beats him up.
Oh, right.
Breaking news. On the Comic House website, you can click a button that says include XXX comics.
I tell you what. It's
the whole
amazing.
New world.
Dan Butcher is just discovering everything this week.
This is how websites work.
Have you been on that website before?
He's got loads of comics on there.
Several times. Yeah. For years.
But you guys should go onto that website, comichouse.com. Yeah. Find out more about the 14-day free trial. I believe there's an extra month if you use the code STAYSAFE as well. So whether you're a creator or you're a reader, just go to Comic House, and there's just great indie stuff on there. So and thank you for sponsoring the show, guys.
Yeah. I would say if you're a creator and you've got your titles on there, try and... It's good to make an effort to get people on there to read your comics, because that generates income for you, gets more people reading the comics. Yeah. Everyone's a winner at that.
More income for everyone if we get more numbers on there. That's the thing. It's that community-driven, you know.
If we get people on the app, and then they start jumping around looking at the other titles, and before we know it, we're more readers.
You've only got to read one comic a month, and you've got your money's worth.
Yeah, and they've got like that top 10. I mean, it's not all about the bestsellers, but it's just people... I've seen people post online, oh, yeah, it's great to see... my title in there. It just gives you a little boost as a creator, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, cool. Yeah, it does large. Yep.
Yeah. Does large. Look at you. You're so streetwise, Tony.
Yeah. Pills, Thrills, and Bellyaches.
What's that?
Title of the new album.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I've got a feeling Tony's not going to be letting this go.
No, this is my life now.
Happy Monday's references.
I've
got a little story for the pod.
Oh,
you know, after our podcast,
hang on, Sam, this will get dirty.
It's not too sexual, this one, sadly. Okay. We did the podcast on martial law, so I thought I'm going to buy the collected edition that you talked about, I bought it off a chap on eBay who's kind of like a seller. And he said, oh, is everything okay with it? And I said, like, this is the best packed graphic novel I've ever received in my life. It's amazing. Like, he could have dropped like an A-bomb on that and the comic would have been okay.
How did he pack it? Because it was kind of like, is it a hardcover?
Hardcover. It was like encased in like a cardboard, and then it was kind of like suspended in like a plastic wrapping. So it kind of moved around, but didn't bang. And then it had bubble wrap on it and then the envelope. And I was like, that's amazing. So I said to him, like, that's the best. And he was like, that's the best thing everyone's ever said to me on here. And I said, and it started a friendship blossom. And I said, yeah, I've got this because we did a podcast on martial law. We're going to maybe look to do some more. And he went, oh, I'd love to hear it. So I'm going to send in the link.
And now you get married.
He said, do you ever go out for a drink or anything?
Go for a drink. What? No, it's fine. All right, then.
He's like Alan Partridge in the garage.
Yeah, Alan Partridge.
You'll end up putting a sausage in a cup of beans with him soon.
Oh dear, that isn't a euphemism, by the way.
Oh my god, I've got an insight into your sex life and it's worrying me.
No! Oh god, we have a guest. Actually, normally they just join in and pick on me.
It's already started.
I would never.
Look, you know I don't trust you because you said Tony was professional.
She's double agent.
Yes.
When you least expect it.
Yes, well, me and Tony met Sam at Thought Bubble last year, albeit briefly. Didn't get a chance to check out your table. How did you find Thought Bubble last year?
It was really good. I think because like Hilda was kind of the featured thing, it was like really handy for me because Hexvert was kind of enough similar in that sort of vein that I had loads of like Hilda cosplayers and parents coming over and kind of being like, oh, this looks interesting. So I think it was a good year for me to go again. That kind of.
Whereabouts were you in the halls?
I was in the all ages section.
Okay.
So it was like the last little hall at the back, which had the little kids activity section as well.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good fun this year, wasn't it? Last year it was a great event. Yeah, we had a blast at it. Yeah.
I mean, that's quite interesting. You say you were in that section of the Thought Bubble because, I mean, we've talked about Thought Bubble quite a bit on this show, but we haven't spoken about that section because obviously with this show. You know,
yeah, all ages. All, you know, all ages. What I mean? Yeah.
But
you can enter like vampires. You like fell back.
Yeah. Oh, we've heard about you. Get out.
But what is that sort of area like for a creator and the sort of like, you know, that community of creators at a show like Thought Bubble?
Well, it was like it was a really good vibe because definitely like my table lineup made sense for like a parent looking would be like, oh yeah, I think I can walk down there without danger. Like, I don't see boobs or anything. No seven heads. but I think the main problem, but I know that the guys at Thought Bubble definitely took this feedback on, was just that it was hard for everyone to get to that area without going through the extreme violence comic section.
Oh, I see.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But otherwise, I think it was a good idea to have us in one area because obviously if you've got little kids, you kind of, they get tired so quick, you've got to take them to something interesting or they're like, I want to leave straight away.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, where would you think the best place for that sort of it? Do you think it's near the front, near the beginning, or
the exact front doors? No, no. I think maybe just having a way for people to walk, kind of bypass that quicker. But I don't know. Obviously, like they've got a lot to kind of work out. But I mean, it still worked pretty well, to be honest. You know, we weren't bored in there. So
yeah. And how well did Hexvet went down? Is that the first time you've had Hexvet? Because I know you've got like two trades of that now through Kaboom.
Yeah, it was because I've been to Thought Bubble to table only once before, which was the last year that it was in the Armouries.
Right.
It was quite a long time ago, and then I kind of was really busy and sort of didn't feel like I had enough to bring, so I kind of waited until I had like a bunch of things to hassle people with.
Yeah. I think that's the best sort of plan to have, though, isn't it? I think if you're going to do one of the bigger shows, like a Thought Bubble or an MCM, is have something to bring. I think some creators just feel like they should do them all, but it's, I don't know, sometimes you shouldn't just go to a convention just because it's a convention. Does that make sense? I mean,
yeah, I think it depends as well, because obviously for a lot of people, I think they go just because the community's really nice to kind of catch up and see people. Like, I definitely get a big like lift out of chatting to people I haven't before, but it's obviously, it's just the expense really of traveling about.
Yeah, we don't make enough to make it like a hugely monetarily, financially sort of advantaged thing to do, is it? It's just for the fun of it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what was your journey? I mean, Thought Bubble was obviously when we met Sam, and she passed over a card for Hexvet, which immediately looked, because the problem with Thought Bubble is it's a book that was right up my street, and I've talked about it on the show before because I purchased a copy myself. But before that, what was your journey to that stage then? What did you start off doing? Because you started with webcomics, did you not?
Yeah, I pretty much started off reading webcomics as well, so I've got a really backwards view of comics anyway.
it's a hard landscape to negotiate sometimes, isn't it? Web comics. There's a lot of get through some stuff to find some good stuff sometimes.
Well, and I think when I started, probably it was a bit easier because like people used to have their own sites and they'd have like a really big links page. So if you found a comic you liked, you would just go follow all the comics that they liked because you'd assume you kind of like the same thing. Whereas now on Twitter and stuff, it's like everything at once, and I can't like find new comics nearly as easily. So,
and it used to be like the web link. You go to the web links page, and then it like the created list about half a dozen comics. So they thought they were great, and then you're like, oh, well, I like this comic, and I like them, and you go to them, and it'd be a big circle. But now, like you said, that's all kind of gone, which is it's a shame, really. But
do you think like having there's even more networks of web comics, you know, whether it be Hiveworks or Spider Forest and all of this stuff. Do you think things like that have completely changed the landscape as well of web comics?
Well, I almost think like they're trying to kind of bring it back to how it was, because sort of the problem is because everyone kind of like, I know I'm just as guilty. I go on Twitter and if anyone mentions a comic, I might look. But otherwise, like, especially now I'm freelancing, I just don't have the time to like go and look properly for new comics. Like, especially when I was working in an office, I spent like 4 hours a day browsing comics. That was great. I think they're good. They're kind of trying to kind of curate, which is helpful, because saying you like comics is like saying you like movies, isn't it? You got no idea what that even
it's
means.
It's just a medium, isn't it?
Yeah. And okay. There's different flavors. There's, you know, the all age books. There's sometimes if you look at web comics, there's nothing but like sort of anime, manga.
That's my thing. Is trying to get past a lot of the, you know, the sort of wannabe anime manga stuff. Yeah. Trying to find something.
There used to be sort of like a bit of a bar for entry, just the ability to make your own site and just have the technical know-how to put a comic up. But now people are so savvy with that. There's like literally anyone can do it. That's why kind of there's no bar regardless of gender, sex, age, race, whatever. Anyone can make a webcomic and go for it.
Yeah, which is a bonus and a
yeah. It's a double-edged blade, that one.
Yeah.
That's what kept me out.
I just put it on a Blogspot. I did it for a year and just put it on a Blogspot, and it was all right. You can see the numbers, you know, it's all right.
Yeah. Blogspot and LiveJournal used to be really good for like. Okay. I used to follow like Eleanor Davis before she was doing big graphic novels. She had a really good LiveJournal, and kind of Kate Beaton. I think she started on LiveJournal.
Yeah. I think Jamie Smart had a LiveJournal at one point. Is that still going, LiveJournal?
I think it's like a weird, it's all like hacked by Russian bots or something. There's lots of like awkward adverts for sexy Russian ladies.
Yeah, that's where I met my wife.
Oh, like it served its purpose then.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Shoot.
I could tell you were just about to say a joke then, Tony. You thought, do I? No, I shouldn't say that one. So what did you start off then? So what, when you decided to, so you started reading web comics, and was it a case of, oh, I want to try this, I want to do something like this, you know, what inspired you?
Well, I think it was, I started my Tumblr, I'd been reading web comics for like ages, but for a long time I just thought I wasn't good enough, and I was like, no, it would be embarrassing to post anything online. But then my first year of uni, I went to uni for animation in Southampton, and they kind of, they sort of hassle you to start making a professional blog and stuff. So I made a Tumblr, which wasn't professional at all, but I did make it. And I was at first just doing like, at the bus stop, I would like sketch people. And then when I got home, I would turn the sketch into like a little monster, but in the pose that I'd sketched the person. Just kind of as a drawing exercise, and then I kind of got addicted.
That's quite a cool exercise, actually.
It's really good. I would recommend it. It's really fun, and especially if you didn't really like the vibe of the person, you can make them really hideous.
This is quite a revealing interview, I think.
Yeah, it's going somewhere different than I expected, to be honest with you.
Just a little ball of hatred, and I tried to hide it.
That was before we turned record on.
Just swearing, throwing things. But But yeah, I kind of, it got me into the habit of posting a lot. And then I think I posted this little comic which had no backgrounds or panels. It was just my little mouse and demon character, a silent comic, which is most of what I was posting. But that did really well on Tumblr. It was kind of like, it sort of took off a bit. And then after that, I was sort of like, oh, wow, I can just make comics
this way. I mean, I've seen your work and it's great and I really enjoyed the silent stuff you do. Other than it being good, why do you think can you put your finger on why it took off? Did you put it in the right places to get it noticed or anything like that?
I think it was Tumblr as a platform because they have that infinite scroll. So it was like perfect for that kind of comic. So I don't think on another platform I really would have had the same success initially, especially because like if you look back at those early comics, they were a bit rough.
Bear in mind, I'm a 51-year-old man, so don't worry about insulting me. Were you hashtagging it or something like that? Was it anything you're doing with it that sort of stuck it as, you know, got people's attention? I know that's quite popular on, you were talking about D on Instagram, weren't you? If you put a hashtag on it, it sort of attracts more attention.
Yeah, you have to kind of be careful about how many you use, and if you overuse them, it kind of counts as negative. It works against you, if you know what I mean. You've got to be quite selective.
Right, okay.
Does it so, really?
Yeah, if you put like 20 hashtags, you'll get bumped down because you're just spamming.
What's the optimum?
I think the optimum, last time I checked, was about five.
Oh, okay.
I'm making that.
I put way more hashtags than that on mine.
Yeah.
On Instagram, I do. But on Tumblr, I don't know. On Tumblr, I didn't really, but I think I was just, I'd followed quite a lot of animators, and then they were like, because Tumblr's quite small, they were all really accessible. They all just chatted to you. So there were like some artists like that would just kind of chat to you and be encouraging and reblog you. But now it's like way too big. So like on Instagram, I just put like every hashtag that's relevant. It probably is bumping me down. I don't know. I'm just like.
But, yeah, you might have to check because I can't remember where I read that or someone told me. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting bit of knowledge. But
It's quite funny because with Instagram, I found that people are like really superstitious. Like there's all these weird little, like someone said, you have to put a filter, but you only put it at 2% and then it'll get seen by loads more people. And other people are like, no, no filters. It's like, we've got these weird little religious rituals.
There's a couple of hashtags I followed, like kind of comic cover or something. And then so much random shit comes up and you're like, well, this is nothing to do with what I was looking for.
There's a couple of sort of writers that I follow as a hashtag on Instagram and people just use that name because they know that it's a popular thing to follow. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit like that sometimes. And you get weird like birthday cakes or something turning up, you know, or sunglass sales or something, you know.
I would recommend for Instagram, this is my hot Instagram tip, there's tags like Insta comics and IG comics. So if you look, when you begin to type in comics, it brings up some like kind of not the most popular hashtags, but like some well-used ones. And I find those are better because they have actual comics people that are like, I want to read some comics, so I'm following this hashtag.
It's like if you hashtag Comic-Con, you're just going to get a load of... it's like that, isn't it?
I think I searched and just found a list. Like for Black, I just... I do have a massive list of hashtags. But that's not something I just came up with. I found this list of like, oh, if you put in all of these, this should, it'll find someone. I don't know how well it's working, but you never know, because like sometimes when you see like who's liked the image or whatever, they're not always people that follow you. So that's like you're like, oh right, this is obviously reaching, it's quite far reaching.
That's interesting, because I've got a locked off account because of my Instagram, because I just use it for posting pictures of my dog. So you've got an open one. Yeah, I can see what you mean, man. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've just dipped my toe into the Instagram comics world, and it is quite interesting. And like, you know, because I thought, oh, I'll search for some of these, you know, some ones that are quite popular on Instagram, and there are obviously ones that are absolutely enormous.
Oh, mental ones on there. Some of them are like more read than like anything else on the internet. It seems like you're like, oh my god.
I've forgotten the name of the creator now. Talk amongst yourselves. I'll look it up.
Right. Okay.
It's weird. It's one of those things. If you can kind of like get onto the platform when it's in its infancy and kind of stake your claim, you can do really well. But there's so many platforms that come up and then just die. Yeah. I guess you just have to try them all.
We're always looking for them, and they're emerging markets as well. There's a lot of English language stuff on VK, for example, at the moment. VK is the it's like the Russian Facebook.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And stuff like that. And if you look on there for comic product, there's loads of like emerging artists you've never seen before. And a lot of it's really good stuff, you know. So you sort of have to keep your eye for that, don't you, really? You know,
yeah,
and also look out for the dodgier ones. There's a lot of sort of, I hate to say it, Chinese apps that appear that are just there to strip your data out, you know.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
Gotta be careful. Yeah.
Gotta help out the Chinese government, guys. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Our future overlords.
I was looking at one today, like to say, I wonder if I could get, like, if I drew a simple face, is there an app that allows me to, like, put in points and, like, animate a face? And maybe I could use that as some kind of, like, promo marketing tool. And I looked at one that seemed to do what I wanted. And I checked the reviews. And it was like, this is fucking dodgy. Do not use this app. And I was like, oh, Christ, here we go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. You've got to be careful for sure.
This is
definitely. Use a VPN.
Manga Studio, I think, has quite a good animation tool, and it's not too expensive. Sorry,
okay.
It's worth checking out. Or is it Clip Studio now? They always change their name.
Clip Studio. I've not got my head around that yet. I should really look into it because it seems to be like an industry standard one that a lot of people seem to be using.
Yeah, and so much cheaper than Photoshop. Like, oh my God, it's worth it just for that.
Yeah,
tell me about it. Sarah Anderson was the creator I was thinking of.
Sarah Scribbles, is
Sarah
it?
Sarah Scribbles, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
3.7 million followers on Instagram.
Jesus Christ.
So does she make money out of that? I don't understand how the internet works, do you remember?
I mean, it's hard to know from Instagram, but certainly she's done collect. You know, she's had, like, published. She's had published collections. I'm not sure who she's published. We've got a couple of her books in this house. Joe's a big fan of them.
Okay. And they are genuinely funny. From Instagram. You make money?
I don't know. I mean, at that point, someone's bound to get in touch with you about something, aren't they?
It's quite weird because, like, I've had sometimes you get like these kind of smaller companies that will try and like get you to advertise their like shit products on your Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Like they'll be like, "We'll send you 3 jumpers if you post about it," and I'm like, "I don't want your jumpers."
Yeah, go away with your jumpers. But they don't really want to give you.
Yeah, they don't want to give you money either. They want to, like, give you some merch. And, like, what has some jumpers got to do with comics, you know?
Yeah, how am I going to eat on jumpers? Yeah, exactly.
I know some of the pen, like, if you, like, artists who draw, like, in pen and pencil and stuff, they've had, like, stuff sent to them by the big pen companies. You know, like, the markers they used to do comic covers with. Those fucking things. People have been approached by them.
You know, more relevant. Yeah, it's likewise to, like, you know, a basketball player getting a sports shoe deal. Do you know what I mean? Because whenever they're playing, people will be wearing that shoe. So I can understand if, like, someone's like, and also if you've got good pens, hopefully the artist will be like, wow, I like these pens.
We love pens, don't we? We all like pens.
Oh, I have a pen.
But isn't there a discussion to be had somewhere amongst this of, like, you know, it tends to be a younger person's market, the Instagram comic possibly, and yet there's always a squabble going on seemingly on Twitter about people who are asked to work for exposure. But isn't that what these guys are doing? Aren't they taking advantage of that and hopefully sort of piggybacking off that into getting commercial deals and stuff? Yeah,
yeah.
I guess they are working
for exposure.
Though. Yeah, but you're not working for someone else's exposure.
You're doing what you want to. Like, I think that's the thing. You're drawing your stuff and hoping someone likes it rather than somebody else telling you what to draw and not paying you.
Yeah. Or is it the same as someone saying, I'd publish your comic, I can't afford to pay you in this anthology. It would be for exposure. Isn't that the same?
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from there.
I'm totally against working for exposure. I think if it's the right place, it's useful and it can be quite fun to do, you know.
I agree.
But I think, it just seems to me that that's what kind of these canny kids are doing. Who, you know, look at me sounding old, but they're doing stuff and they're getting noticed and people are hiring them, you know. And you're the prime example of that, to be fair. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's you have to know, like, what you're willing to do and what you're not. It's kind of like, don't let the person be like, if you don't do this, you're going to miss this big opportunity. Be like, oh, I don't really want to draw your comic about, like, you know, roller shoes or whatever they want to draw a comic.
Roller shoes. Hold on.
I sent you that last week.
Right.
My roller shoe comic.
Dropping diamond ideas here.
And it's to be sensible and to have an eye on being taken advantage of is always right, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like I said, if you've got your kind of like work in an anthology, so you got the 2000 AD one, Sarjazz.
Yeah.
That right? Yeah. Like that could lead to something, going on from that, because
and there's nobody making big bucks out of that book. No. It's for fun, and it's yeah, you want to do it fun, but and it'll get you exposure. Yeah, you know, that's, isn't it? Yeah.
It shows you can do it. It shows you can work with other people.
Yeah,
and produce a comic at the end of it, because I've said it many times. A lot of people talk the talk about making comics,
yeah,
but walking the walk is way harder. And yeah, if you can get a comic out there, like, fucking hats off to you. Cause...
and it's all down to the individual, really, isn't it? If you're happy doing it, you know, no matter what anyone says, it's what you're comfortable doing.
And the individual circumstances, isn't it? Exactly.
Yeah, but at the same time, just be careful and don't let anyone take advantage of how nice you might be about something.
We've all encountered that, as in the small amount of popularity we get from being a host on this, we've been taken advantage of in the past, you know. And we always go into it with our eyes wide open, thinking we know what's going on, but end up.
I don't want to go into it.
Oh, Christ, why am I doing this? It's like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Still too painful.
Oh, dear. But, I mean, we've talked about like your webcomics and stuff. Was it Stutterhug? Just so everyone knows. Did you start with Stutterhug?
Yeah, I realise I made a name that everyone is like, what is that? Shutterhug? Stutterbug? What is it? No one can ever remember it.
But also at the same time, no one else has that name. So
yes,
you could use that for everything. Can't, you know, if you know, your websites, your email, whatever you want to use.
You must get, oh, that's a Stutterbug creator or Stutterhug creator. Or, you know, the people...
that's, I get the first one.
Yeah. I got that. I'm thinking about it. Yeah. But you get the Stutterhug. I've seen them online. There's a little catchphrase there, isn't it? It's a little popular... people remember it. You know, I certainly remembered it from friending you on whatever it was we friend each other on, Twitter, I suppose. You know.
Yeah, like, I think it helps because I do, like... I keep starting new projects constantly, so it helps to have one place that people... will know what it is, like, separate from just a single web comic. Like, I call my silent comic Stutterhug, but people kind of accept it as like any random comic-y thing I put on there. They're like, oh yeah, that's also by you.
It's less of an ongoing sort of narrative thing. It's more like,
yeah,
just we hate to say brand, but it kind of is, isn't it? Is it a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I wish I was a bit better at it. Like I say, I should stop starting 1,000 new comics. But yeah, it helps to have a central name that people can remember, even if they can't spell it or say it.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, like when I've been doing research, like about webcomics and stuff, later in the year when I tried to maybe become part of, like, well, I don't know, things like Spider Forest or Hiveworks, whatever. And I think Hiveworks was where I saw Stutterhug pop up. Am I wrong? Which is
yes. Yes. Oh, that's good that the adverts are coming up there.
Yeah,
I wasn't
and it was, there was also like front and center on like the homepage. I was like, oh, you know, these ones would be interested. But I don't know whether that's factoring in because I've looked at Sam's comics before. Do you know what I mean? The weird algorithms that
I'm not sure if they have algorithms on their site or not, or if it's like, because I think they put you up the ranks if you've updated recently. I think they do it a bit more sort of logically. But they made a website for me last year, so I finally have a website separate from like a Twitter and a Tumblr. So I'm kind of working with them in kind of a sort of relaxed way. Really cool.
How's that like? Because I mean, Hiveworks always is a lovely looking site. I know we've spoken about Spider Forest before, but you know, what's it like dealing with those? With them?
So far, it's been pretty good. Like, they've been really helpful. I think it's especially for people who kind of, one, don't know how to build sites, which I do not, and kind of also if you look at the kind of comics they share and you can see like those audiences would be interested in what I'm doing, I think they're good. I think you need to find the place where you can see like a lot of comics you would want to read and a lot of comics that your readers already like, because that kind of helps you. It's no good like putting your, like, you know, really sort of ultra-violent comics on Hiveworks. I don't think, I mean, some of them are quite violent, but they're sort of sparkly violent.
Sparkly violent, love it.
Yeah. You know, it's like you need your market or your genre or whatever you call it. But
violent. That's like Vince's Sunday night.
Yeah. That's a good
or
name
like
for
an
a comic,
Rice
actually.
Vampire Day, I say.
Oh, yes.
Right, okay. You want to do this now? You want to do this now?
I do.
Right, okay. Ding, ding. Right. Now, how did this come about? Was it on our recent show where the Anne Rice vampire books?
Yeah, I think it was because you were talking. I was listening to your podcasts, and you were. It was the episode with the creator of the Rattler, which was a really cool comic, which I bought.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, Jason McNamara.
Jason McNamara. And I was enjoying the conversation, having a great time, and then suddenly, out of nowhere,
we attacked.
Attacked Anne Rice vampires. Like, I was like, what is this? Oh, this will not stand.
And that's the only reason Sam's on the show, to actually fight us over this. Like,
right. Fair play.
I will.
It's
right.
A right to reply.
Yeah, exactly. And I will. Say this from the bat. Never read any of them, so I can't. I honestly can't talk.
I've seen the movie and I've read a couple of the rather poor comics, but I haven't read the novels. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. I've only read the first one. I don't think I went in on that. Just to be the absolute.
Well, that sounds
shit.
Like you, that sounds like you, Dan. Yeah. Just back.
Isn't there on there two films? Aren't there two films? One's about a lady vampire.
It was quite interesting. I actually watched Interview with the Vampire recently.
Yeah.
Interview with the Vampire is a brilliant film. I love it, and it still stands up to this day. Queen of the.
It's amazing. Yeah. How can you diss a film that has like a small child being burnt alive in a well?
There's the quote for this week's episode.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He eats alligators at one point.
I will not diss that. Yeah. I will just say Queen of the Damned. That is all I will say because
that's a liar, isn't it?
Is
that her name? Yeah.
That film was a bit rough.
Okay.
I won't deny that.
But I liked her in that Kung Fu movie she was in, but I haven't seen that one.
Was that the one with DMX?
That's it. Sorry?
Is DMX in that film with the Kung Fu?
I can't remember.
Jet Li,
that's it. Yeah. Oh, that's what I was thinking. Anyway, but the films aside, you know, we were obviously just talking. It was bluster, and we've been called on it, people, live on air.
Yeah,
we've been. Actually...
We are full of shit. I'd like to point it out to anyone.
That's why I wanted to bring it up because I was like, I bet they'll straight away backpedal.
Yeah,
they've got no leg to stand on.
Yeah,
you already.
This will not stand.
If it was Twilight, I might have stood up for maybe 20 seconds longer, but yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Twilight is completely different. Yeah, I
watched one of the Twilight movies. I think I made the mistake of watching the last one.
I read a couple of pages of one of the books, and it's not well
written.
There's
a big fight in the last one, and then eventually she goes, oh, no, it was all a dream or something. Yeah, is that what happened?
That's what would happen if it did happen. It was just dreamt it or something. You know,
did like you know in the Sherlock Holmes movie where he's like, I could do this, and then I'd win. Yeah, they do that basically, and then the vampires are like, oh, you're right, you'd win. Let's all go home.
And I think it's because that scene didn't exist in the books, but it would be quite a boring film if it didn't have anything like that.
It's a technique that Martin Amis uses in a lot of his novels as well. I think I made that up.
I was going to say, I don't think she uses that technique. I'm not sure if she uses any techniques in those novels.
Doesn't she use like one whole chapter's blank pages, isn't it? Because she has a boring time or something. Is that right?
I don't know.
Famously,
I have to be honest, I did not read those because...
I was told that. So there's a bit where he goes away or something. Who's the sexy vampire man? He goes away.
I love the fact that we've, after 250-odd episodes, we're finally getting to the Twilight discussion.
Your reputation straight away.
Yeah.
He goes away, and because she's so bored, the chapter is blank pages.
Well, that's quite art house. I quite like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah. She's just like, I can't think what to write. Who cares?
I mean, I hope she didn't get paid the same amount for those.
She's had so much cocaine after all the money she made off the first book. You know what I mean? It's like, I take that back because she's not on cocaine. Please,
well, the thing is, like, they're actually she's doing new books, and it's, I think, well, correct me if I'm wrong, Twilight fans, I never thought I'd say that sentence on this show. But
they
I think
correct you.
Yeah, and they will. They don't listen to this show. I think it's the story of the Twilight films, but it's from his perspective.
That sounds boring as F.
Isn't Twilight a spin-off from something, and then they did 50 Shades of Grey, which is a spin-off of that.
Oh,
so someone's gonna make a spin-off of 50
Shades
of
Grey. Someone did saucy fan fiction of Twilight, and that morphed into 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah.
Vince, you read 50 Shades, didn't you?
It's my autobiography. No. Of course not. No.
Not quite strong enough for me.
No. I mean, I have a shelf of Mills and Boone that would blow your mind. but we're getting off topic. Anne Rice.
Come on, Bubbles DeVere. Here we go.
But to be fair, like, that they've done that lady who did the the 50 Shades stuff. That started as an online fanfic, and then she got so much interested in it, it generated and it became
real. She doesn't have to work again.
Yeah,
it's
so like
making a web comic.
So making a web comic.
Exactly. Bring it all back.
Oh dear. No, but in all seriousness, you know, I'm not going to slag off the Anne Rice novels. I haven't read any of them. But I presume they're good. Have you read... Actually, we're saying all this. Sam, have you read all the books?
I've only read the first two, to be honest. But they were pretty... I was like, it's not that they're amazing. It's just that they're definitely not soft. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like they're flippy, floppy, sparkly vampires from like Twilight. They're pretty gruesome vampires in parts.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just have good hair, and there's nothing wrong with having good hair.
There's quite a few comics made.
Yeah,
so
tell me about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, back to the comics.
Look, nearly went off topic. Yeah.
Well, we're all still friends. I think we're okay. I think we're going to be okay.
Right. Move
past it. Yeah. And back onto the webcomics. Because one of the interesting things, and this is a type of storytelling that I... thoroughly enjoy reading as well, because, and I think it's quite difficult, is you're a fan of like silent storytelling. Well, I say silent, there's no audio, but like without any like text or word balloons or you know, is Stutterhug like that as well? Because I know you you've got a book called The Shape of Things, which is a longer form sort of story, isn't it?
Stutterhug was kind of like a load of like short comics. They're still all up on my Tumblr and like on my website. They're kind of like all standalone little silent comics.
Yeah.
And The Shape of Things kind of grew out of that, because I was like, I wonder how like far I could take a silent narrative without kind of the readers being like, I don't understand what's happening. We need some words.
And to be fair, I mean, like we said earlier, there's 400-odd pages of it, so I think you didn't find it difficult to do the narrative, I guess.
Jesus
I went
Christ,
on.
You've got 86,000 followers on Instagram. What are you doing on this show, honestly?
So I think you should definitely put lots of hashtags. I think we've settled that one.
Yeah.
Lots of hashtags.
Yeah. Richard's talking out of his anus once again. Yeah.
Although I don't know, because Instagram seems to change from day to day. Like, it is like a weird magical like thing. You toss comics in and then like say a little prayer and see what happens. So
you can see why people like employed full time in marketing to kind of get their heads around this, and it seems to be something that continually changes.
Yeah,
it's fucking bonkers.
Yeah, something like stories came out, and something that was the most popular thing, and all that sort of thing, isn't it? Yeah. I'm very impressed. I thought, I'm going to friend you on Instagram, because obviously I'm an old bloke who knows about Instagram.
I'm an old.
And it's I thought, fucking hell, you got thousands upon thousands of fans. You're the big deal. You're a big deal, Stutterhug. I've decided.
Well, it's interesting, because I joined Instagram like a while back, but I didn't use it. And then I started posting regularly, and it kind of went well, but I wasn't an early adopter really.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting that sometimes you just kind of, it works, but I don't really understand how, except that like I definitely posted regularly because I had like...
Yeah, that regular thing's got to be part of it, surely, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it also, you know, the quality of your work, though, we do like to say, you know, that speaks volumes, and your style has an immediate... You can see why that has an immediate resonance with people. Like it's clear, it's crisp, it's... dare I say the word cutesy in its own kind of way. You've got like a, you know, we're not talking a dark, serious style here.
There's folks. A lot of dogs with sparkly eyes, and that is
love dogs.
Gold on Instagram, apparently.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Well, you do. I mean, lots of animals. There's lots of animals. I mean, there's certainly you deal with some darker sort of themes. I mean, The Shape of Things definitely goes, you know, there's some real, in the best kind of way of like, you know, like children's stories or kids' cartoons or whatever, some of the best ones, they always go somewhere dark and something weird and, you know, something that will scare kids a little bit.
Yeah.
I think you've got to do that with kids. I mean, from everything from this sort of thing to 2000 AD to, you know, comics, is you've got to make it, there's got to be tension, there's got to be jeopardy, isn't there, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely.
So with your style, like, what are you influenced by?
Oh God,
it's a very graphic style. It's like very graphic design in some ways. I think one of the reasons I'm, you know, so appealing to me. I mean, some of the pages of The Shape of Things alone, never mind the narrative, they could just be wonderful prints. You know, I think every page of that book.
400 prints already.
400 prints.
£20 each.
Yeah. I mean, your suitcase would be very heavy, but. Yeah. Have you thought about, like, because this, I just want to get this clear, Stutterhug was sort of like separate one and done little stories. You decided to do The Shape of Things, and you were doing them both at the same time?
I think because I was posting Stutterhugs almost weekly for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And then I think I sort of swapped around, so I was posting like fortnightly Stutterhugs maybe, and then doing like one Shape of Things update, I think. And was I doing that? I think I was. But it's actually The Shape of Things has been on hiatus for a while because I couldn't keep that up, surprisingly enough. I was really tired. But
there's a hiatus, but like, you know, as what you sent us, you were doing it from 2017 to 2020. I'm guessing it's on hiatus for a bit, but folks, there's a lot of it to read.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I sat there scrolling through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least it's quite a quick read because it's silent, I always think. I don't feel as bad like dropping that on people as I would like if it was 400 pages with words. I think people would be like, not right now, thank you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, actually. There is a definite sort of, you know, if you had a printed book, and like, you know, a 400-page Alan Moore book, you'd probably be like, I can't do this.
Yeah, like, please club me to death with it instead. I can't.
but you still manage to say quite a lot. You get the story, and I think there is a flow to it, and I think that's quite challenging because this, when we say silent, it's not just that, but you're dealing with white backgrounds, isn't it? It's very stark. I mean, what inspired the story?
Well, I think it was a combination of, because I was doing animation at uni, like I said, and when you animate, a lot of the time you animate the characters separate from the backgrounds. Right. So it was something I'd been thinking about, was like, you can tell most of a story just with the characters, and the backgrounds kind of enhance it. But for something you need to do quickly, a lot of the time you actually don't need them, and especially if you're still learning, because I think learning to draw characters well stands you in really good stead. And then once you've got them kind of working well, you can start to build in the environment. I mean, obviously backgrounds are great and I love them, but for me, I was kind of intimidated to do it all at once. So I thought, right, I want to get really good at like gesture and expression, and I think I can tell stories with minimal backgrounds. And like with The Shape of Things, I kind of put them in slowly as I went, so they kind of, you start to get some environmental details, but they're kind of few and far between. So it was all kind of like seeing what I could do and what would work or what would be sort of too boring.
Your focus is totally drawn to the characters as well in that, which I really like.
Yeah.
And I think we talk about it a lot, Sam, is that if you can tell a story without words, it works for certain stories and not for others, but for this sort of story, it works perfectly, a silent story for these characters, because you've got that facial acting thing going on as well. You know, I can tell what's going on immediately from watching it. And the no background thing did not bother me at all. I found it quite refreshing reading it like that. I'll be honest with you. I really liked it. Mm. Yeah.
It kind of focuses you in a way, doesn't it?
It does. It really just does.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
I definitely recommend it, like, especially if you're in a rut. Like, it's quite good to just draw something really simple with just the characters and get that sort of immediate storytelling, sort of, I finished something buzz, because you otherwise, like, whenever I draw a full background, like, I'm just, like, worrying over it for ages, and I change things a lot more, and like, you know, you get trapped in a cycle of like despair over how it looks.
Comics,
right, guys?
Cycle of despair.
Everyone.
Yeah, it is so true. I mean, this would be a lovely print book, though. It would be gorgeous to have it printed. But you were just literally just doing the story for yourself. You know, to I guess exercise some more storytelling sort of ways of doing things.
I mean, we say that we often say this is the only thing that you said last week, V. You said this is the thing that only comics can do, and this is, for me, that is the only thing that webcomics can do. Because a book would be probably too expensive to print, wouldn't it? You know, all those pages and stuff, and it works so well online.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. I've thought about printing it, but then I thought, like, would it work the same way? Like, I know at Thought Bubble, I picked up, you know, Paul Duffield. He's doing The Firelight Isle. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Yeah, the one.
And his is an infinite scroll online, but I think he's planned really carefully to make sure it also works as a book. And I don't think I was thinking about a book when I made it, so I'm not sure it would translate in the same way. I think you've got to be sort of planning quite ahead to make sure it works in both ways.
I think with that one as well, on one of his Kickstarters, one of the higher tiers, it was like, I don't know, printed on like fabric. It was like a scroll.
Bloody hell.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, so whereas, like, obviously online you would read it downwards, with this one you would just unroll the scroll and read the comic.
On the tube with a giant
scroll. I like that. There's a hole in the market for you.
I don't know if I could do that. I kind of would like the novelty of it, but, like,
and I think
let's get that scroll out again.
Yeah, it was. It was that. I think it was a pure sort of like, and it was in one of the more expensive tiers. So it was like if you're a collector and you want something that's just cool.
But if you're standing up on the tube, if you're standing on the tube, got a scroll out to read, everyone would think you're a nutter.
Yeah.
They think you're right. He's a hero.
He's about to start talking out loud. Here we go. Move down the carriage. Move down the carriage.
I do the crazy look out the window, like, don't touch me. I'm mental myself.
A go-to mode move. Guns.
Yeah.
So the shape of things, obviously, how did you find people, like, did people find that through Stutterhug? Was there any... You know, because it's a new story, isn't it? So I guess.
Well, it's in a bit of a weird position, which I don't know if I'd say I'd regret it, but it was sort of because it's published exclusively through my Patreon or through Tapas, their premium app. So it does actually make a little bit of money every time I post it, but not like loads of money.
There's quite a few creators that do Patreon only exclusive comics, aren't there?
Yeah, and I was kind of experimenting with it because I didn't really know sort of how it would work. And it's kind of been good, and it sort of teaches you that you kind of need a combination, because if you put everything behind a paywall, like, nobody's going to kind of do it, you know, without seeing anything. So they're sort of like, I don't know what that is. I don't want to sort of spend money. But it's sort of gradually built up over time, which is quite nice. But yeah, it was on the Tapas app. A lot of people that have been reading Stutterhug sort of jumped onto it from there because they'd sort of already seen my stuff. So they were like, yeah, okay, I'll sort of... And the good thing about that is you don't have to pay for every episode. You can pay for like a couple and just see how they are. And then if you're like, no, it's crap, you just don't buy anymore.
Much like some digital comics, I've thought that.
I thought that about a lot of Marvel comics.
Surely not.
Well, I mean, that's quite interesting. Obviously, we'll put links for Sam's Patreon and stuff, because I guess if you get new patrons, they've got access to everything that was there before.
Yes, it's quite a good deal on my Patreon. It's probably better than Tapas. Don't tell Tapas that, but they can. I think it's if you pay $2. You get the whole archive, basically, and I've put it all in one big post, so you can infinite scroll down and read the whole thing just for $2. So,
good stuff.
Yeah, well, that's an afternoon for you.
It does show the work ethic. We occasionally get emails saying, oh, you know, where can I put my comic to make money, or should I just start a Patreon? How do I get people to, you know? And it's not, you've got to put the work in.
Years of crying.
just free money. I'll start up a Patreon, and away we go.
You see that all the time. Yeah, and nothing happens. They don't put anything out. They don't put the effort in, and they close the Patreon. It's all the time that happens. Yeah,
and you can't give up with Patreon, because I have found, like, at first it feels discouraging if you kind of lose people or it's not doing much. But if you're consistent, like, people remember and they're like, yeah, it's worth it. So you just got to kind of be in it for the long haul, I think, for that.
Yeah, good tip.
Pro tip.
Yeah, no, it is genuine. No, I was talking to someone literally the other day about it, and I said, you know, you really, you know, you're not going to just start a Patreon and start getting loads of money in.
No. Yeah, so I mean, some 20-year-olds on Instagram do, so that can be quite disheartening, but but they have comics that it's like they capture the zeitgeist, so you can't expect you're going to do that. It's like one in a million might do that, and the others, you've just got to work slow and, you know, build it up and sort of make sure you enjoy doing it first, because totally. You're not going to get paid.
Yeah, yeah. You should never sort of say, right, I'm going to create this that's going to be like that, because then you're then you're already losing because you're trying to be something else.
Because they've already got that, so why are they going to pay for two? They're just going to pay for that one.
Yeah, exactly. So how did this lead to Hexvet and sort of like full-on printed comics with Boom?
Look at you, old school. Old school.
Now. Yeah. You've almost gone the opposite route.
Panels.
Yeah. How did it come to be, and how did you find that change in narrative storytelling?
Well, it was quite interesting. I don't know exactly the sort of steps that happened, but I think what happened was, do you guys know Jocelyn Fenton, who does the comic Hemlock, the small press comic?
I think I do.
It's like a Scandinavian fairy tale with a witch and a little frog.
I've seen this. Yeah, I have seen it.
It's
about
really
yeah.
beautiful. Like I basically, when I was at uni, I would kind of go to conventions and just kind of buy her comics and be like, "I love you," and then run away.
We've all done that.
Yeah. We've all done it.
She very nicely. We've done it, to be fair. Yeah.
she tolerated that and. When she wrote for Boom the one of the Steven Universe limited series after the animation came out.
Oh, right.
And I think she just kind of recommended me as someone she followed on Tumblr and was like, I think she could do a variant cover for you guys. So I think that was how I came to Boom's attention.
And that's like the Steven Universe, you know, for some of those people who don't know what it is, that is a whole fan base.
Yeah, I'm like a budget Steven Universe in my style, so it works great.
You're much better than that. You see a lot of people aping Steven Universe, but you're much better than that, mate. I see it all the time. We get submissions at Nobrow all the time, and we just go, another Steven Universe submission. But no, yours is much better and much different.
Well, and I think also because, like, Rebecca Sugar, I think we're a similar age. And if you think about it, like, if you read anime, like, and manga as a teen, and then you also loved The Simpsons, you basically get Steven Universe style, which is what we all did, all my age group.
Yeah, I can perfectly see that. Yeah.
And, like, Scott Pilgrim, like, that's basically Scott Pilgrim as well, is, like, Simpsons plus Japanese influence equals Scott Pilgrim. So,
Yeah.
Which he's a great comic, but you can kind of see how my generation kind of got this weird influx of anime style, and then it's kind of just stuck, and younger generations have then seen that, and it's like a whole new wing of comics that's sort of been birthed.
yeah. So you did a variant cover for Steven Universe.
Yes, and I guess I turned in on time, and I didn't do anything stupid. And I think Shannon at Boom, who I think she might also be responsible for John Allison being at Boom, I think. Don't quote me on that. But she's definitely a webcomics fan, and she's kind of tried to get quite a lot of webcomics people into print, I think. She's kind of really good for that. She just emailed me and was like, I've been enjoying The Shape of Things. Is there anything you'd want to pitch to us ever? And I was like, let me think about it. Yes, of course!
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
So in essence, you did that cover work, and then you've got this person who I guess looked up your work, obviously saw that, liked it, looked it up, and, you know, saw how much work that you had already done. Because how many pages?
Oh my god! Somebody stopped pages her making had comics.
You, how many pages had you done by the time you got that contact?
I want to say The Shape of Things was probably near the end of the first chapter. So, like, I'm not sure how many pages. That's probably 100 pages. But like you say, with the infinite scroll format. So, like, I don't know, like 50 pages of normal comics if they were panels, probably.
Yeah.
then I'd also done a load of silent comics that were just on my Tumblr as well. So I had she could look at that and be like, I know the sort of ballpark of what I'm going to get.
This is a person who does work.
Yeah.
She's
a workforce.
And
I think I think Hex, like, I had the idea of a magical vet because I'd been, probably been binge watching The Superbad. I don't know if you guys watched that.
Yeah, my wife watches that all the time.
I'm
a big fan.
Is that the one where he makes like artificial limbs and
the Irish guy?
Every time I cry. I
can't watch him. It's too upsetting. I can't watch Marley and Me. It's too upsetting for me.
Yeah,
it's true. I do find it hard, especially because he cries. The vet cries as well if he gets it wrong.
God, I'm going to cry now just thinking about it.
Because I know you're a dog lover, aren't you, Sam? You've got
a boxer dog.
Yeah, he's cool.
Talk about it too much on Twitter.
Well, if you've seen my Twitter, you know I do as well. All I do is put videos of my stupid dog.
Have you got like a little terrier? What's your one?
He's half Chihuahua, half Jack Russell. I call him. He's called Sharknado.
Yeah, it's like a little machine of murder.
He is totally. He bit me on the foot earlier, and I tried to walk. He was still attached to my foot. Yeah.
The good thing about those dogs is they bite you, but if someone else tried to mess with you, they'd bite them harder.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think he's trying to do? Like assert dominance, Tony? He wants to be the boss.
I think so. Yeah. Because he really loves my missus, but he just hates me. I think he just wants to get me out of the way.
an Oedipal situation.
Yeah, he's put a doggy hit out on me. There you go, there's a story for you. He's put a dog hit out on me. The local dogs, every time I walk down the road, they're planning.
I tell you what, the title of the book, Dog Eat Dog.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. All about a doggy hitman. Yeah.
Yes. Let's do it.
Vince and his cat army. In the
yeah.
Yeah. We're just going to make animal books. I'd be quite happy with that.
They're so good. It's great because everyone knows exactly what you're talking about. You all just get to talk about your dogs like they're your children and everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I show them the Zoom meetings. They're always like, I'll get Sharknado on the Zoom meeting. The girls at Nobrow love him. Always holding him up.
Great icebreaker if you've said something and then you're just like, oh, quick, shit, get the dog in.
Yeah, and you know what I'm like if you've listened to this show. Yeah, happens a lot.
So obviously when Boom said, oh, do you want to pitch something to us? Like you said, so Hex Vet was in your mind at the time.
Yeah, like kind of unformed. It was basically like, I think because I have a notebook where I write like lots of like disjointed words which have kind of become... Stutterhug strips. I think one of them was like magic vet shop ? and I couldn't figure out how to make that into a silent comic. I was like sort of, it was still brewing in my brain, and then I thought, oh, this would actually work pretty good as like a children's comic, probably. Like that's everything that I would have wanted as a kid. So I just pitched that, and luckily they were into it, so I was like, oh yes.
And what was then from there, what is the experience like? Because you've obviously been making webcomics for yourself in your own time, obviously you're a workhorse, but this is a different proposition, obviously, completely different type of storytelling, deadlines with the publisher. I mean, there's two books of it, so it's obviously a fruitful relationship.
It was pretty scary at first, though, I'll be honest, because I wasn't sure like how well I could do traditional comics. Like I had some experience with storyboarding, but obviously storyboarding is so different to comics. Like I usually don't like comics which are too close to storyboards. There's something about it goes wrong. I'm not sure why it is, but it's a different set of skills that you need to adapt for. And I was like, I did quite a lot of thumbnailing and re-thumbnailing because I wanted it to read really easily and clearly and just be like really accessible for kids. So that was what was in my brain the whole time. Luckily they were pretty supportive. I think they told me if something didn't make sense on the page. But luckily that didn't happen too much. And the deadline was quite tight. I think it was probably, 8 months for the first book. But it was only 64 story pages, so it wasn't a really long book.
That isn't long, though. No more, yeah, no, you did well there then.
It was like, please let me finish.
Oh, Christ, yeah. I've got to tell you, having worked with quite a few professionals over the last sort of couple of years, if you need a job and you can do that book quickly, then please come work at Nobrow.
That is what I'd heard a lot from people that like if you can get the book done, that's half of what the editor wants. Jesus, like it Christ. Could be just completely awful and they're like, at least I've got something to work with, like I can tidy this shit up.
I heard that quote from Dave Gibbons recently, where he said there's three characteristics of comic creators, and a comic company want two of them, and it's like be a nice person, be good, and be quick. And if you can just have two of those, a comic company will hire you. So yeah. You can be quite a nice person and be quick, you'll get a job. Yeah, so that's
yeah. Yeah, so I just insulted my editor nonstop but turned in the pages on time and they had to accept me.
There you go.
Yeah. But that's a hell of a thing to do. So at that point, did everything else get put on hold and then it was the book is what I'm doing now?
Yeah, I think I went into a production tunnel. I feel like I did still put out some stutter hugs, but they were like way, way, way slower than they had been. So I was quite scared about that as well, because I was thinking, like, am I going to have any online presence after this is done? Like, and if nobody likes this book.
Fans. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just
they're
like,
the ones who buy your comic in the end as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody left to buy the bloody thing.
That's commendable. I think that's good. I think there's a work ethic there that's coming out of webcomics these days that, you know, a lot of people just in traditional comics could pay attention to.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a prime example of that, D. You know, and you now, Vic. You know, you're both putting out, like, weekly webcomics, daily.
There was an interesting tweet from Colleen Duran, wasn't there? I mentioned during the week about how she was kind of the division of labor and what people see as a lot of work. And she was always kind of a bit down on webcomickers.
Yeah.
That was a bit awkward. That
yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was married to Dave. She lived with Dave Sims, so she can't be all there in the head. Yeah.
Like, if you're doing the comic, like, 9 to 5, I take my hat off someone who does, like, a job 9 to 5 and then goes home and creates comics. Do you know what I mean? You're going above and beyond.
Yeah, financially, we're looking at that soon as well. There's a few, even for the bigger companies, there's a lot of part-time creators now, aren't there, you know? Mm. So financially, the money.
I think it's good to, like, lots of people are making that choice, thinking, do I want to make comics all day for someone else and then have to make my own, like, at night, or do I want to just get a day job and then make the comics I really want to make at night? Because it's like, at least then all my creative energy is going to what I really like, and I don't begrudge anyone who is like, no, I want all my energy on the thing I actually want to do, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's just a real balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
mean, but thankfully, you know, it wasn't like they hired you just to draw this book. But, you know, this is your story, this is your pitch, this is your creators.
I was unbelievably spoiled, basically.
You had a letterer as well. How was that?
That was weird because, like, I was like...
Who lettered your work?
It was... Let me check. I don't want to get it wrong.
It wasn't Jim Campbell, was it? I know he does some work for Boom.
Mike Fiorentino.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Mike Fiorentino.
Yeah.
And I think we had... my editor was really cool, actually, because she... they'd done the bubbles one way, and I was like, I don't think it's going to work unless we make them lineless bubbles just because of the art style.
Yeah.
And she was a bit nervous about that at first, but then she was like, I think you're right.
It works so well. I mean, there are those moments where, and I've done a similar thing, I do like those sort of bubbles that don't have an outline on them. It's totally fine to do it if you have a bubble on a white background, just to put a faint line like you've got.
Yeah,
on
yeah. You look at some of the Bond Dessiné stuff uses squares and arrows and straight lines to the words, and there's all sorts of things going on, as long as it's readable,
yeah. So
it is a whole new skill to kind of hand off part of your work to someone else.
Okay.
Like, especially if you've written a script. Did you think, is my script gonna be too wordy? Are they gonna be able to put this in right? Are things gonna be in the
yeah?
I think I was like, oh god, I hope they check my spelling because I'm such a bad speller. That was my main thing. All these children are going to have all these terrible spellings in their heads because I've put on this book.
You ever get stuff back and you think, oh, I wouldn't have done it like that, but it's what someone's done and you just kind of got to step back from it. I know some people do struggle with that.
Yeah, and well, I think people are really nice about it, especially on Twitter. Like, loads of people, like, if I post a short comic, someone will just politely be like, I think you've misspelled like 3 words in that, you know, 4-word comic.
Yeah.
You like fly into a rage and say, I'm doing this for free.
Yeah. You accept those poorly spelled words, but you're nothing. Yeah.
I mean, if anything, you kick yourself, don't you? And I posted, I think there was a teaser for MI666. It's like, oh, this page is going to be coming soon. And there was one word just spelt off. It wasn't in the print book. And thankfully someone was like, oh yeah, this is wrong. But my first thought was, stupid, stupid, stupid. Why did you do that?
Start whipping yourself.
Yeah,
I did say once, like, if you want to like attract the an army of Hawkeye pedants, like, make a webcomic. Because they're fucking cum, man. They're like, they're drawn to like Chips the Seagulls. You know, they just come diving in on you.
So, Sam, what we're learning is, in order to dodge that, is that why you did silent storytelling? You
didn't want anyone... exactly. So much easier when I didn't have to put words on it.
I mean, Hex Vet's a great book, though. I mean, like, the colour palette and everything. And it just shows, looking at the webcomics as well, it shows there's a diversity and there's a breadth to your work. So, and obviously you've done two books now. The first one was 84 pages, the whole collection. That must be quite awesome to have a collection of a
trade paperback. It is cool just to hold it and be like, it's real. Because webcomics, like, you know they're real, but also they're not. They're just in the computer.
Yeah. And if you're going to do 400 odd pages, then you've got to get it printed.
Yeah. And like, you can hand like a printed comic to like your auntie and she'll be like, oh, you don't just waste your time doing nothing. You've done this. Okay. Yeah.
And a professionally sort of like properly printed book is like, look, see, it is a real job.
It's real. Stop asking me about it at Christmas.
No, seriously though, folks, it is a great all ages book. It's one of the it's unique. It's got its own voice, like new characters. Rather than this, we see a sea of things of Steven Universe knockoffs, or you know,
Hilda's class.
Hilda's probably sort of like creating a new wave of thing. You know, we'll get sort of the Diet Hilda books probably in the next few years, but that's why books like this are really important, and especially if you've got kids and you want something that is, you don't have to worry about. I mean, we've had the question of, is this okay for kids? This is perfect.
My answer is not normally no.
Step
away from the table.
So if they ask us that, we'll just send them towards Sam's table.
Genuinely really class, mate. I mean it's not really the sort of thing I read, but I actually absolutely loved scrolling through it this morning. Yeah, really nice.
Thank you. So I hoped it was like, I was quite pleased at Thought Bubble because I was kind of thinking I would get sort of like girls would be into it, but I wasn't sure like if boys would give it a chance because I do have a very pink
that's quite color palette. Yeah, that's quite interesting that you say that.
Yeah, but actually like lots of boys did try, and actually one boy kind of like read me on it a bit. He was like, just because a book is pink doesn't mean a boy can't read it. I was like, you're right, I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
So it's been cool. They just and kids, like, the good thing about kids is like they'll look at it, then they'll look at you, and if they don't like it, they'll just be like, I don't like this. they'll tell you, Dad.
Yeah, just say, I don't like this. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
and then you just swear at the child and make them cry.
Yeah, kick them under the table and then they shuffle away.
Oh my word. I wasn't going to go that far. But, you know, that's the dark side of all ages books and their creators, we see.
Murdering.
You know, essentially this show has basically been all about just bringing the all ages creators out of their shells so they reveal the true monsters that they really are.
They're terrible. Don't go near them. Don't trust them.
What's in the future for, like, Hexvet or, you know, your other work coming up?
Well, I have a lot of stuff which is currently kind of, well, one thing is in limbo because of quarantine, weirdly. Oh, okay. Which is quite an interesting thing. I'm hoping it goes through. If it happens, it's going to be in collaboration with one of the UK unis, which is something really different from anything I've done.
Do you mind saying which uni or UK?
I think I'm allowed to say it would be with Southampton Uni. Unrelated to the fact that I did my course there, but weirdly, but. Right.
That must be quite cool, though. The fact that it's like,
intellectual.
don't get them to listen to this, otherwise,
I won't tell them.
Trouble. You're bang in trouble.
But that'd be quite interesting. And then there's a couple of other things which are also sort of not yet at a stage where I can talk about them. But fingers crossed. In you know, it's the same thing with comics. It's like you have to wait then like a year, and somebody will pop up and be like, "I did make something, guys. I wasn't just."
Yeah.
nothing.
Yeah. So is there more Hexvet in the future at some point? Do you want to go back to it?
I hope so. I would really like it. At the moment, I'm not sure. Like, it's sort of in limbo. So, I've got a bit of Hexvet news, which hopefully will come out soon, but I also can't say yet. But
Now,
I would definitely do at least, I've got the story for at least two more, because there's like a little sort of, because I've kind of set it up like there's a sort of one book storyline, and then there's a little storyline in the background that hasn't been resolved. So
nice.
I'd love to resolve that one as well, if I could. But obviously, that's all up to Boom, really.
Nice. Well, this bit of news, we'll speak off air because I'm gonna have a punt on what I think it might be.
Oh,
okay.
I will probably be wrong because that's what we do on the show. We get things wrong.
It's that they're
Often.
burning every copy
Yeah.
straight away.
There's something in the ink. Yeah,
Yeah, we can talk off air.
Brilliant. And that's when she'll be a monster again, rather than this very professional, nice person we're talking to now. No, seriously, I mean, obviously, the wonder of this show is discovering new creators and new books for kids. And obviously, we've talked about all ages books quite a few times over the past year, I think. I mean, we've definitely sort of been, especially
Yeah.
stepping into that arena ourselves a little bit more. Dare I say it?
We have, even me.
Yeah, so we know what a challenge it is, and plus we always say getting comics into the hands of the next generation of readers is the most important thing. So you are doing a good work, Sam. And
Oh, well,
yeah.
you guys have been like really good actually, because you're one of the podcasts I listen to like find new comics, because like I said, I'm so bad at finding them now because I draw all day and then I'm too tired to like look at anything at night. But like, yeah, you're costing me lots of money because I bought Battle Badgers on the
Oh,
last
nice.
podcast,
Oh,
and
brilliant.
that his like talk about good background work, like it's beautiful.
Yeah, great.
Love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like a load of good small press sort of all ages stuff coming out, which I think is really exciting.
Yeah, there's a real sort of like boom, pardon the pun, in that sort of like arena, I think. And it's definitely a fun and challenging sort of genre to try. So, you know.
Yeah, we've I've sort of turned my hand a bit recently with the Spark stuff, and it's like
Same, yeah.
it's a whole different thing to write. It really is, you know. Like, usually just shouting boobs is what I write in my script, you know, something like that. But this is
Yeah.
I doff my hat to you.
Yeah,
Yes,
yeah.
it's a hard thing to
And
write.
you can tell when people don't do it right, and like, yeah. I mean, you make it seem effortless, Sam, with the books you do. So,
Because I'm very stunted emotionally.
yeah. You're on
Yeah.
but where can people go to, like, you know, find your work or find the books or, you know, your Patreon, etc.?
They can, if they can spell it, they can look up Stutterhug, like stutter as in the speech impediment, and then hug as in a hug. And I'm that on a lot of social media. And you can also go to stutterhug.com. And you can also just on Instagram, speaking of Instagram comics, I just started posting. I've been doing this little intermittent series called Cauldron Pours, and I've just started a second account to put all that on, so that it's all collected. So you can look up Cauldron Pours as well. Another stupid set of words that no one will remember. I love doing that.
You just don't stop. You just
No, I
That's
don't.
good.
I should.
Good.
People
No,
keep asking
no.
me to, and I won't.
No, you shouldn't stop because like then people find this show and they've got a raft of things to go forth and read. And
Yeah.
definitely check it
Yeah.
out.
And ideal for the lockdown as well, because you can
Yeah.
find it and read it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Oh,
good
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. I thought I'd get the links in straight away because last week's show was an a sorry again to
Linked
Steve.
apocalypse.
The link
Yeah.
apocalypse that happened at the end of last week's show.
We
What
kept
we
rolling. We went with it.
yeah,
Went
we just
fine.
kept rolling. We forgot our own links, didn't we, as well?
Yeah.
We didn't do
Yeah.
ours. Yeah, that wasn't going to happen this week. but we have talked about, I mean, we could talk about loads more. So, you know, Sam will be back in the future to talk about the other, I don't know, 1,000-page books she's done in the past week.
When I've been arrested for crimes against comics because I've put so many pages out, and everyone's like,
Somebody
no.
dissed Dan Rice, and you've chinned him in the high street.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With a comic book, I've thrown a comic book at their head.
Oh.
Dan Rice is an understated genius.
It's like a ninja star. He just killed
Oh dear. Another shell. Do we have any shout-outs this week?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Shout-out for Pandemics in Panels, a comic anthology from the Foreign Press Comics themed around quarantine disease and specifically COVID-19. Pandemics in Panels features a variety of creators and is made in the hopes of providing people with some optimism that they deal with COVID-19 crisis. Proceeds from this anthology will be donated to Save the Children to help the countless children in adverse circumstances as they struggle to deal with this difficult situation. And we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's foreignpresscomics.com. And it's Pandemics. You can, one of those sites you can put a fair price in and you get the 31-page PDF. Comics anthology.
I hadn't heard of that. Yeah. Oh, nice. Oh, cool.
Check that one out.
Yeah. I've got one. So, something we're all involved in now. The Spark is about to hit Kickstarter, I think, start of June.
Yes.
You're going to get a package deal on the first six issues, I'm going to say, five or six issues. I've just okayed the cover from an old collaborator of mine, Mr. Hanks, for one of the issues. It looks marvellous. Me and V are in it. We're in Monster Spotters Club. I'm editing it and co-editing it, and Dan is in the next issue. Very exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it. Watch Kickstarter for that. It's a good one. And it's for charity, and it's good for kids, and if they're stuck in hospital during this horrible time.
Monster Spotters sounds like a really good title as well. I'm immediately interested.
Oh, I'll send you some copies.
Yeah.
Send me some. Yeah. So it's one that me and Vince just, we make it slightly child-friendly puerile. Yeah. But yeah. Good. Yeah, one involves his bum being on fire, which did make me laugh as the last one.
Yeah. That was fun to draw, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's not just fire, but you'll have to read the comics to find out what it is.
Yeah.
Just a quick shout. Obviously, we haven't talked about it, but the news of sort of the MCMs are not happening.
Yeah. Nope.
Probably very wisely, a lot of shows are choosing to just, rather than just constantly delay things, are just cutting the cord and stuff. Just want to shout out and hope all of the people that have booked a table or going to be there or whatever. I know a lot of people, those shows, sometimes, and we've heard it on this show before, MCM's the only one I do because that's the one I do best at. That's where I get a lot of the income and stuff. So it's tough times, and obviously this is probably a big blow for a lot of people, so we hope you're all right. And hopefully the organisers are in contact with you and sorting out refunds and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Because it's also, as we all know, all of these conventions that everyone's set up for, there's money that's already been paid to get tables.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. We've talked about that off air.
Makes me wonder, like, what was going on behind the scenes, because the Excel one got made into a hospital like weeks and weeks ago.
Yeah. So I think a lot of this is down to the fact that they can't cancel for insurance and get their money back. It's got a certain distance. I think there's a bit of that going on somewhere. You're about to say, Sam. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, I was just going to say, isn't Harrogate currently a hospital too?
Is it?
Thought Bubble
Venue. I didn't
realize that. Yeah. Oh, okay. So I was kind of watching to see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Obviously, the organizers of these shows are going to do what's best for everyone involved, because and do you know what I mean? If you have a problem with it, don't be stupid, because it's, you know, if anyone's been to a comic convention, we talk about Con Crud and Con Flu at the best of times. This is not the time to complain about not being
able to... needs busters when the devil rides, or whatever that phrase is. It's tough times. Don't give grief, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and the organisers, obviously we've talked about indie shows on this time. Our heart goes out to all the indie shows and all the organisers that have to do stuff, and they're doing what they can to put on virtual cons and things like that. Yeah. So we just wanted just a shout out for all that, and hope everyone...
There was an MCM virtual con as we talk, isn't it? It's just ending now, I think.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Around the MCM one, yeah. If you put a hashtag on it, it will have finished by the time people listen. But I think they were selling... Well, I think you could probably still do it Monday.
Because I know MCM was going to be next Friday, wasn't it?
Well, I think maybe it's running through the week then, but I saw a hashtag trending about
MCM
London or something. Yeah, you can sell your books. I think it was MCM London. Yeah. It's definitely MCM. Yeah.
So, anyone that knows more about that or checked out or whatever, let us know. And, let us know what it's like, because, you know.
I've got to tell you, the first convention that comes back, people are going to go nuts.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's going to be dangerous.
Going to be last day. Last day to Rome.
Yeah. Yep.
All Caligula night four.
All for overpriced prints and dirty paper. God, God bless us, everyone.
I'm going to absorb the Funko stall.
Oh, don't do that in public, Tony. You know what we're talking about. You can't do that again. Oh, I'd love to see you zorbing through a convention hall.
Just knocking over all this giant that, you know. Yeah. Oh, look, lunchboxes. Yeah.
He's sort of like, he's like a cat in a washing machine. Oh, God!
I can imagine that first Sunday convention, you know, the comic collecting one, Tony.
The Mart,
The Mart. That'd be a bit like Dawn of the Dead, people fucking hammering at the doors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I was chatting to Falpy. We got together to put our Kickstarter together yesterday, and we're saying we can't wait for the next Mart. I'm desperate to go and buy a load of old dirty paper at a convention.
Well, our plans to do a show live from the Comic Mart.
That's our plan. We were going to do one earlier this year, weren't we? Sort of fell out of bed because of the virus. But yeah, we're looking forward to that. That'd be a good laugh.
Yeah. But we're going to keep bringing you this show every week. And because we're in our bunkers, quite safe. And we're going to keep adding to your wish list pile and making people like Sam hate us because they're spending so much money on comics.
Yeah,
I'm angry.
Apart from the fact she's met us, that's another reason to hate us.
But now Sam gets to be one of the people that is the problem because it's time for the recommendation section of the show.
Lovely segue.
Thank you. who would like to go first? Should we have
guest first?
Let's do the guest first every time. Sam, what would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
I've got three things to recommend, I think. So I've got, the first one is it's called The Lonesome Era by John Allen from Iron Circus Comics. This one, I kind of picked it up sort of on a whim at Thought Bubble again, which is where I got most of my comics. It's the only place I get out the house.
Yeah, it's an expensive weekend, that one, to be fair.
It is. Lost all my profit on books straight away. But it's just like this black and white, and it's really big as well. I don't know how many pages this is. It's a lot of pages. It's like 415, it's a lot of pages. And it's just about this like little depressed cat called Camden.
I'm in.
Depressed cats. Yeah, this is why I picked it up. It's not a mystery. But it's sort of like just really captures sort of how depressing and pointless teenage life feels when you're a teenager.
It sounds very sad. I feel sad now.
It is sad, but also it's really funny. Like, he's in love with his best friend, who is this like terrible chaotic little monkey character who is just like getting him to shit constantly, but because he has a crush on him, he like goes along with it, and he's stealing something for him, and then he runs away, and then he like breaks his leg and has to go to hospital, and then he's like, there's these horrible bullies, and it's fun because it's sort of like the tone is quite realistic, but then every so often, like, I think the page that sold me was he's in the hospital, like, ringing his sister to tell her that he's, like, messed up his leg. And then in the background, this little animal just runs past with a knife stuck in his head. Like, crying. And it's never explained. And then later he sat in the waiting room with the knife still in his head, but sort of sat waiting patiently to be seen by the doctor.
I can see. I just Googled it and looked up. There's a cat with a knife stuck in his head. And the main character's going, this place is fucking creepy.
Yeah, it's great. And the monkey is just like this terrible, like, everyone's had a friend like him where he just wants to go and do ridiculous stuff and get drunk and try and buy drugs. And he's like, he's just a terrible influence, but the main character loves him, so he's going with it.
Awesome. This looks great.
Yeah, it was really good. And I'd never heard of it before. So it was, I think when you find a book like that, it's extra exciting because you're just like, I've never heard of this, and it's really cool. So
sometimes it's nice when in fandom to be the first person to like something, isn't it? I know it's a slightly sort of selfish thing, but I always remember when, for example, when The Office came out, and I immediately liked The Office, and then everyone else got hold of it. I felt like saying, I liked it first.
I don't like it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've had that attitude a couple of times, and you think that's childish, but yeah, you do get it.
I
like this when no one else fucking liked it.
Yeah.
I feel a bit like that occasionally with Marvel movies when, you know, Everyone's going, oh yeah, do you like comics? Oh, do you like Deadpool? Have you seen the movie? I'm sorry, I like Deadpool before he's a movie. Yeah, it's like that.
You're too late. Get away from me.
Yeah, leave me. Cool.
Then over exaggerate folding your arms.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Brilliant. Okay, oh. And you got another two, did you say?
Yes, I got another two. I've got I'm gonna butcher this name. It's a webcomic called By Blowmen. B-Y-B-L-O-E-M-E-N. And it is a little black and white webcomic about the Dutch tulip rush, but set with the perspective of two demons that are trying to tempt Dutch traders into doing like sinful capitalist buying of tulips.
When it started, I thought, where's the comics?
Yeah, and then, this is a bit niche.
Yeah.
Here we go.
It's like something you could only do in a webcomic, because how would you pitch this? It's like...
Yeah.
If you look it up, the art style is really interesting as well. It's almost like sort of old picture book, or maybe like woodcut style as well, but also cartoony. It's really cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my webcomic. And then I've also got something which is a comic in progress that isn't finished yet, but this artist called Sarah Ayres is adapting The Worst Journey in the World to a graphic novel. I don't know if you guys have ever read that book.
No.
It's about the Terra Nova expedition to the South Pole, which, spoilers, ends very badly. True story. And she is an ex-Disney animator, and she's obsessed with this really grim story about Arctic explorers. And she's like, she's running a Patreon, which is, I think her handle is Teelin, T-E-A-L-I-N, at patreon.com, or just look up Worst Journey in the World comic. And she is hardcore researching every aspect of it. I think she went to the South Pole. I think it was like a grant or something for kind of creative people who wanted to write about, I'm not sure how she managed it, but she is committed to this project.
I think Wizz Air fly there, don't they? I think you can get from flights from Luton.
Yeah.
I made up.
Oh, but obviously not at the moment because of the lockdown, but as soon as it opens,
yeah. You
get straight there again. but yeah, if you want to see like a really detailed comic researched as it's made, I would recommend like backing just a $1 or $2 Patreon tier, because it's well worth it. She's like a beast.
Wow. We've covered the gambit then.
Yeah.
Like three things. That's awesome. And to be honest, they all sound like books that I'd definitely be interested in. So thank you for that.
Yeah, they're all books I haven't heard of as well, which is nice.
Yeah.
Now awesome. You guys can lose all your money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
Don't need much help with that.
Who's next? Go on, D. Do you want to go?
Yeah, sure. Mine's going to be relatively quick because... I'll take that back, because Vince said the immortal words of Stan Lee. Every comic could be someone's first.
Yeah.
And this is on the Comic House app, uploaded by John Tucker. The week before. And it's Picture Books for Bad People, the collected works of John Tucker. And it's a beast. 323 pages.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Of gold.
Yeah.
We're missing his live stream, because he's live streaming at the moment, isn't he?
I think he's come to twice a week now, the live streaming. John.
Yeah.
Really, really fun to watch and kind of...
I have it on while I'm working. Yeah, it's nice.
Get involved with, and it's the complete works of John Tucker from 2017 to 2020, a series of absurdist kitchen sink one-shots that were described as funny yet touching, Broke Frontier, and delightfully surreal Pipe Dream Comics, including 8 full-length titles, 7 mini-comics, and a preview of his first graphic novel. I can't recommend this enough.
Yeah.
If you like John Tucker stuff. It's just
great
kind
forward
of,
as well, really good forward.
Yeah.
Is
it? Oh, I knew it. Yeah. As soon as you said great forward, I thought, here we go.
John's stuff is just absolutely great. Like, you can just dip in and out. You don't have to obviously sit down and read all 323 pages in one go.
Yeah.
But there's so much in it. It's such a great title. And I think, don't quote me, John might be giving a portion of the money to charity.
Yeah, this is a cat show.
He's done a couple of live streams.
I have to say, having watched the live stream and being a friend of both John's and Cliff's, there's definitely a buddy cop movie in their relationship.
Yeah,
or a comic. There's a buddy cop comic in Cliff Cumber and John Tucker doing ridiculous things together because they're both crazy people, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you kind of like John Tucker's got that kind of dour, kind of laid back thing, and Cliff Cumber's like the well spoken, energetic kind of.
Yeah.
That is some
that
sort of,
kind of.
Yeah. Oh, God. The titles I'm thinking of in my head for that. Right. Yeah,
that's fantastic. You can check out, if you go to Comic House, John's got a list in there for his available comics we can buy for him, and his own site, which we'll have to put in the show notes.
Yeah. Speaking of Cliff Cumber, thanks to Cliff for his latest podcast and all the nice things he said.
Oh, should have done the shout outs, but yeah, it's really nice. He gave a lot of small press titles a shout out, including Vince's work on Black, my work on Vanguard, and. Anyone else?
Our comic's coming out. Yeah, so I've just sent him the lettered version of the comic I'm doing with him, and he was so excited. Yeah, Ken's lettered it. Shout out to Ken, actually. Ken Reynolds has done he's really applied himself to the style of the comic in the lettering. It looks brilliant. Yeah, really good.
Nice. Do you want to go next, or shall I go next?
You go next, V. Yeah, I've got. Yeah.
Okay. On a completely different sort of. Feel and the atmosphere. I'm going to pick another book that I was going to talk about last week about Scout Comics, from Scout Comics. Sorry, before I just ranted so much about a disgraceful, filthy comic that I absolutely loved. I didn't have time to talk about this one. It's another one. It's written by Max Hoven and Aaron Crow. Their credits are Fall Peak, which I think may be a webcomic. Don't quote me on that.
Okay, right.
And illustrated by Gabriel Iumazark. Did I get that right?
That's going to be fine.
That'll be fine. I'll change it in post. No, it won't.
No, we won't.
This is a book called It Eats What Feeds It. And it's a very dark, atmospheric, sinister horror tale that goes like this. Francois, a stunning middle-aged woman, has developed a worsening affliction and needs a young caretaker to keep up her lavish Creole mansion deep in the mystic bayou of Louisiana. Kenny, a teenage half-wit looking for a summer job, happily falls right into her lap. Blinded by her beauty, Kenny accepts her offer but ignores the fact he's required to slide raw meat into a slot on the bolt-locked steel-plated attic door he's restricted access to. Can't see where this is going to go bad, can you? But as Kenny's this is all ages. As Kenny's adoration becomes love, Francois's health begins to plummet, forcing Kenny to learn the truth about her secrets before either of them is prepared. This is I really, really enjoyed this book, actually. What we got sent was, it's a 65 pages what we've got here, and it's a complete story. I think it may be three individual issues when it comes out. I'm not sure, but you know, I don't want to make any commitments, but it's definitely a really, really creepy and atmospheric story. The setting of the bayou is just gloriously sort of shown. The artwork itself, it has a very anime feel. The artist is clearly, you know, influenced and does that kind of work, but it does work really well with this. And there are moments of over the top, you know, when you watch those sort of anime films and the, you know, there's monsters and the blood's completely over the top, and it's not graphic, but it's supremely atmospheric, and there's a real building of tension and atmosphere and terror, because it does what brilliant horror does and doesn't show you too much. It doesn't completely give the game away. Even when the reveals happen towards the end, it still leaves a lot up to the imagination. But it was just brilliant. It feels a little bit, I think the atmosphere, it feels almost like a haunted house kind of atmosphere. You know that when someone moves into an old house and has to look after it, and then slowly as the story goes on, things are a bit sort of unnerving. It has that kind of feel. It's not all ages. There is a bit of death and a little bit of death and destruction, but not too much. It's just a bit sinister in a brilliant way. Plus, I think why I wanted to read this book is the title. What an amazing title. It Eats What Feeds It. I mean, that's pretty...
Sold me. I want
to
see it.
Yeah, it's I'll show you this, Sam. See what you think of
it. It's a bit like sort of Four Kids Walk Into a Bank. It's those sort of titles seem to be quite cool at the moment, don't they?
Yeah,
you know, they're like a little exposition bit of the story. You kind of it's explained to you. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, exactly. And they, if done right, like this, it can be a hook that draws you.
Yeah, exactly.
You in.
Yeah.
So definitely keep an eye out for this one. I know the creators are. They are a little vocal on Twitter and stuff, so I'll put links in the show notes because they're obviously proud of this book and passionate about it and excited that it's going to be coming out from Scout Comics. So yeah, I'll put some links in the show notes, but look out for it because this is
that's been a little goldmine, that email we got, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice when you discover sort of new as I said last week, new publishers that aren't new, but when you discover a publisher and you realise there's a goldmine of actual quality.
Yeah, Magnetic Press was the last one that, and they pop up every few months, don't they? And
it's happened so many times to us over the period of this show. You know, from the Europe comics addiction that we have, you know, ongoing. So it's just great to see. I love all these little publishers just getting great creators together, putting unique books out, and So just look out for it. So
cool,
yeah, that's
nice one. Mine is I'm going to recommend it, but you can't actually buy it at the moment, so there's a twist there, isn't there? A twist in my story. Nothing's normal with me. I have to say, I got sent these the first three issues of this. I loved this book, absolutely loved it, and I'm hoping it's going to be released at some point soon. I've just sent you guys, it's called Maximum Allen, and I've just sent you the cover. I've sent it to you on the Twitters, Sam, so you can have a look on the DMs.
Just looking, I'm scared to look.
Listen, when I send someone a private message, it's not always like that. Yeah. I love that cover. So the Maximum Allen, you know immediately, it's a close-up of a man brushing his teeth and a load of blood coming out of his mouth, and he's got quite a big grey-black beard. And it's done in the style of... Watchmen. So it's got that vertical yellow writing. What a great cover, guys.
Yeah.
I love that cover.
Yeah. That would probably definitely be one of my picks in the weekly cover.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's it was sent to me by Brian Rankin, who is a listener, a pal of ours. I met Brian at Glasgow Comic Con last year. I think he bought a comic off me, it's very kind of him. But it's written in letters by Ross Leonard, art by Brian Rankin, colours Dave Newbigging. Separations by, here we go, Ludwig Laguna Olimba. That can't be
that, that's spot on.
That's brilliant. fonts by Blambot. There you go. It's three issues. It is exactly what you think it's probably not going to be. It's a story of Alan Moore. Done in
Is
just,
it really? I can.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's absolutely nuts. It's it starts off as a sort of little suburban street. You know, the alarm clock goes off. A hand smashes the alarm clock. A hand reaches down for those sort of boots. You know, the sort of, you know, I don't know, goth boots with loads of metal bits on them and wing tips and all this sort of thing. Yeah. And then a hand puts, you know, those weird rings that Alan Moore wears. They're like claws, aren't they?
Yeah.
Very nice rings.
Like talons. Yeah. The hands reach down and put that, and you still haven't seen Alan's face at this point, so you're thinking this is Alan Moore. He puts on a sort of weird coat. I think it's a dressing gown, actually. It's got that sort of cord like a dressing gown has. And then he dives through the window in his pants. We're just wearing the rest of that.
It's like very true to life, kind of downbeat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's biographical. Yes, definitely. Lance, it does that sort of power land that you get in superhero movies. My name is Alan Moore. I write comics. I'm a master of storytelling and deconstruction in the medium. And he gets punched in the face. He falls to the floor and he's surrounded by an army of they're kind of all Alan Moore, but they're different versions. There's like a robot Alan Moore, a giant Alan Moore, a sort of reptile Alan Moore, an LSD Alan Moore, and he's just surrounded by all these. There's like a wizard Alan Moore, and it's what they're saying there is there's a lot of copycats and there's lots of different views of Alan Moore, I suppose, out there, is that what they're saying with it, you know?
This sounds great.
It's fucking mental. Totally mental.
I love that title. It does sound like something that should have Partridge in there somewhere.
There's a description from David Lloyd. They obviously sent him a copy of it, and he said, "Very funny and bizarre." Oh, thank you for that lengthy deconstruction, Dave.
Yeah.
I think you're right as well. You know, It's yeah, so he's confronted by this sort of sea of twisted Allens, and he makes eye contact. There's this sort of really good page of like no speech, all these Allens eyeing him up, and he goes into and he jumps in the air in his dressing gown and his pants and his boots, his boxer shorts and his boots, and goes full on karate kick into their faces. And then suddenly he wakes up and it was all a dream. And Alan Moore wakes up in bed. He brushes his teeth. He goes down the stairs. He has some, I think they're Golden Grahams. Quite a nice choice for cornflakes there. A classic choice. Are you a fan of Golden Grahams, Sam?
I don't think I've ever seen them in a real shop, though.
I had a box the other week. They're quite
really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I thought they were like mythic, you know, like Lucky Charms. You never see them.
I always see
everyone
cinnamon Grahams. I see
okay.
I see cinnamon Grahams, but Golden Grahams are...
Because you're middle class.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
All sides.
Absolutely.
This lady's my favourite guest ever.
Well, I'll remember that.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm not judging. I shop in Waitrose. Come on.
Oh.
So he goes downstairs.
No stranger to a Dauphinoir.
He goes downstairs and he has his Golden Grahams and he phones a friend and he's sort of having a chat and there's a knock at the door and he goes to the door and there's this sort of creepy sequence of him going to the door and it's, I think his name's Stephen. Stephen the postman is there. And good morning, Alan. I've got some priority mail for you. And there's this big splash page. You think, oh, it's just the postman. Bloody hell, Stephen. You almost gave me a heart attack, says Alan. Chortle. And there's this letter and the letter just says, we are coming for you, Alan Moore. And it's written in sort of red. And a U is underlined. And then one of the sort of replicas of Alan Moore from his dream turns up and cuts Stephen's throat. And it just goes off on one from there onwards. Opposite him is this sort of Victorian gentleman who carries a shotgun. There's a sea of sort of zombie-like Alan Moore's attacking. Neil Gaiman turns up at one point, which is anything with Neil Gaiman in it I find hilarious because I think he should be lampooned more. Him and Neil Gaiman at one point, no spoilers, crawl up the backside of an Alan Moore. That's part of the story.
What? So
it's like being John Malkovich, but
a little bit, but like maybe someone slightly up their own arse. I'm going to say that.
No, surely not. Yeah. That can't be what they meant.
Yeah, do you think? Yeah. and that's what you get, and it's just it reminds me so much of these sort of anti-establishment underground comics that we used to get, you know, like the Lord of Horrors and stuff like that. And it's just fucking great. It's just so stupid, so well drawn. The art is like full color art. It is the art you get on the cover is the quality of the art inside, which is always nice to see as well.
Yeah.
And it just it proper goes off on one. I mean, obviously Neil Gaiman lives in a castle, you know, and he's got this stupid floppy hair and stuff like that. And it just goes on and on and on. I mean, I'm hoping it's. I think we should start some kind of movement so this gets printed and we can all buy it and, you know, but worship the fact it come out.
Does it end with Alan Moore suing the makers of this comic? Because that's the only satisfying conclusion. That
nice,
he starts a lawsuit.
Alan's kind of a hero, though. He is kind of all right in it, you know. And there's all these imitators, you know, who he has to, you know, do various things with. But him and Neil call up the bumhole of one. You know, it's that sort of thing.
Oh, well, you know.
As you do.
Sometimes you've got
full
to.
Of weird they go to a forest full of weird mushrooms. Yeah, there's it's really good. I really liked it. There's a creature made of poo. I think it's poo or it's earth or something. But yeah, it's really good. And been chatting to Brian on the Watts on the direct messaging this week. And yeah, one day hopefully it's going to be out there. It's not at the moment. I don't know why. But yeah, it's good stuff. Really good.
Awesome. So when
Alan Moore dress up as a superhero and jump out in front of his friends. And I was like, all right, Alan, this is in secondary school. And I think there's a story about that.
Is there?
Yeah, he dressed up as a superhero and jumped out. And his friends were like, Alan, what the fuck are you doing? And he thought they would recognize him.
That's so cute. Like, it didn't work. Oh, God, they've been lying to me.
You'd never live that down. That happened to me. God. I did that to someone.
Yeah.
Probably have to move house just to get away from that.
Yeah,
that would be too much.
Yeah. That's why he grew that beard.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's the point of the talons. Anyone takes a piss, he just slices their throats.
Oh, God. We start getting into that witchcraft and stuff, and it's like, he used to do his fucking superhero shit. He's fine.
This is
he believes it's a demon in his toilet now, so it's probably, you know, he's better off.
Well, you know, we've all had one in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Just that lampoon that has passed itself all day.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we'll keep you posted when that one's going to come out, because I think there's a lot of our listeners will want to check that one out when it comes out. Yep. As well as that fantastic list of recommendations to add to your wish list, to check out, buy, I don't know, check out the Patreons, etc. There's loads on this show for you to take home and read over the week to keep you sane. So we hope you enjoyed this episode, and thank you again to Sam for joining us. And as that proved just then, Sam. You lowered yourself to our level right at the end. That's what always happens.
We always get there eventually.
Yeah.
As long as everyone knows they need to go and watch Interview with the Vampire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it was all worth it.
Be one of us.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we hope you all enjoyed this week's show. It's been fun for us, and we hope you enjoyed it as well. So if there's anything that we talked about, or if you want to let us know about people's plans during all of this craziness with your comic events, or if there's any like planned, I don't know, charity events that you're going to be putting on online, etc., let us know and we'll shout them out in the shout outs. You can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. also let us know if like we got names wrong, or you know, but don't let us know if we got any lettering wrong in any of our comics,
because we'll smash you up.
Well I was about to say we wouldn't respond, but you know, Tony will smash you up.
I'm available if you get any shit around lettering. Just £5 an hour, I'll go and smash someone up for you, Sam, if you need. Yeah,
I'll keep that in mind.
Tony will clap you up, as is common parlance.
Yeah. Croydon parlance.
Parlance. Oh, blimey. We've all really gone up a class this week.
Vince likes to say Dan's had his word of the week. That'll do for this week.
That'll do, won't it? Parlance. Yeah. Lovely. if you go to Twitter, you can follow us at The Awesome Pod, where we post out who our upcoming guests are, or perhaps if it's just the three of us, we might say, what do you want to ask us? And then we're just probably bullied by a lot of people. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. If you want to do something... join somewhere fun that's a fantastic community of people, and it's not just us saying it, the people that are actually part of this group, they do all the selling for us, so we don't really need to. It's the Facebook group Awesome Comics Talk, where there's awesome stuff happening all the time. No shameless plugging of Kickstarters, no copy and pasting of links and things like that. Yes,
three people.
They will just get deleted.
Yeah.
It's, sometimes I just delete them, and then like 2 hours later, you get another attempt at posting.
Yeah,
I think they must think, did I not do it or something, or it didn't work.
Yeah, I've actually started messaging people who do it like three or four times now and say, look, are you a listener?
Yeah. Because that's not what the group's about. Because it's just talking about comics, making comics, just everything.
We had
a new art thread. What's your art thread?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good one this week, and everyone went to that, didn't they?
Yeah, Cryptid. Yeah, I missed out on this one. I didn't get a chance to do something for it this week, but yeah, so I'm looking forward to checking out that art thread, because yeah, Dan Butcher just shouts out. How often are you doing it, Dan? Fortnightly or weekly?
Fortnightly.
Yeah.
So you,
what's
you
the next
get,
one? Do we know yet? Or
no, I'll put up a suggestions tomorrow, and then the day after that we'll vote, and then 2 weeks, and then we'll draw whatever the top voted thing is.
It was actually quite a sensible one, because knowing what sarcastic to piss takers our listeners are, that you put sort of superheroes in the toilet. Yeah, we love you. We love you for that. But you put superheroes in the toilet, you know it's going to get voted high. You know. Or, you know, if you put.
There was in there.
Dead or something. It was in there, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't make it, actually. Yeah.
You put that suggestion in there?
Someone suggested it, so it goes on there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so, okay, I suppose.
It's a democracy, Vincent.
Democracy rules. That's true. Okay. The only thing it isn't a democracy is when doing this show, because I run it with an iron fist. and then when I press record, it just all goes tits up.
You have the illusion of me and Tony taking the piss when actually it's all pre-scripted.
Yeah, it's kind of a loose fit.
We had a lot of
lines to remember.
Yeah.
It's amazing acting. You're very impressed, aren't you?
Yeah. I did appreciate the improv this week, Sam. It was wonderful, wonderful stuff. Oh, God, I'm still recording. We've got to do the proper bit. So thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe and leave a review. It just helps get the word out and more people discover amazing comics and add to their wish lists and check out web comics, etc. If you listen to us on any other networks like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what are the networks we're on, Tony?
We're on Pod Yippie Yippie Kaya.
Oh, he threw me for a loop there. That wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
It's another Happy Mondays reference there.
Tony, are you a Happy Mondays fan?
I don't mind them, actually. I quite like them, yeah.
I'm not. That's all I'm going to say.
I was going to be Pod Immediate Dampness, but I thought I can't say that.
Well, you've just said it.
Thank you.
See what we did there, folks? Well-oiled machine. Where can people find us on Twitter, etc.? Tony, not like that.
Tony Esmond, that's my name. You can find me anywhere. I'm a legend. Not at all.
He's not wrong.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, Dan.
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
You can, and it's back and
kicking
ass.
Thank you.
I love how when you're
polite. All over the animation as well. I'm loving the little trailers we're getting.
Trying to get people to kind of, you know, get invested and interested in it. I think I might just have to put my hand in my pocket and buy advertising.
Yeah, I want to see more amusing Vanguard videos from you, though. I miss
sexy
them.
Sexy videos you used to send us a while ago. What's happened?
I have to get back on it.
Sort it out, Dan.
I did do the house move, and then all this fucking lockdown shit came along. So it's kind of...
Cheer this, Tony. Yeah. It's just nothing but excuses, isn't it?
Excuses.
Yeah, I want more sexy videos from you.
Don't
like that, pervert.
Should I leave the call?
Just doing it to impress you, Sam.
Oh, okay.
Where can we find you, Sam? Change the subject.
Stutterhug, if you can spell that. I'm not going to tell you how. You have to work.
There you go. Of course, I'm going to put in plenty of links in the show notes, whatever. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jester Diablo. And yeah, I mentioned it a couple of times, but I've got an Instagram comic that's posting every day called Black.
I'm following it. It's really cool.
Oh, thank you.
I love silhouette comics. That's like one of my favorite things. I'm really, always a big fan if anyone does like those sort of, they're really fun.
Lovely as a little printed thing as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing that printed as well.
Thank you. Well, there's plenty more pages to come. It's just been a fun sort of art project, really, just to do something different and dealing with that sort of like one colour. And then with a lot of it, the brain is, like you say, the silhouettes, the brain is sort of filling in the blanks, if that makes sense. So you don't have to worry about too much detail. So it's fun. Yeah, but you can find it on Instagram. Follow it at Black the Comic. That's BLAK the Comic. A new page goes up every day. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
I got you a new reader, didn't I?
Yes, thank you. That was lovely.
So, good.
I'll keep using those hashtags.
There are some people on there who aren't just teens. There are old people making comics on Instagram too.
What the hell are you saying? What the hell was that? That was it.
I'll send you that fiver later.
What? That is...
I'm an old person by Instagram standards. I'm practically dead by Instagram standards.
Like, you're backpedaling now. Unbelievable. What a shot across the bow that was.
I thought you were friends.
I thought, oh, we've got one of the nice ones this week. How wrong I was.
I'm drunk on power. I'm sorry.
That's what happens. We're all drunk in the end. Thank you for listening, folks. Hope you have a brilliant week. Go forth, read loads of comics, stay safe, healthy, and in all seriousness, we hope you're all okay out there, no matter what you're doing or whatever. Especially those people that are on the front lines and actually sort of like having to be around people on a daily basis. So, Yeah, we hope you're all right. Yeah, read loads of comics, make loads of comics, just stay wonderful, stay awesome. And from Dan, Tony, Sam and myself, I'm not going to say it, so you lot can say it. What should they do?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome.
Yes. Perfect.
That was unbelievable. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
That was the most like, oh my god, what have I become involved in? Goodbye from you then.
I'm gonna get sued.